It's been 13 months since a bill reworking Wisconsin mining laws was signed into law, so it's time for Wisconsin Eye's second update on Gogebic Taconite's plans for an open-pit iron mine in Ashland and Iron Counties. Thanks again to Ann Coakley, Director of DNR's Bureau of Waste and Materials Management, Larry Lynch, hydrogeologist and mine project for the DNR. Welcome back. We haven't done this since November. Has there been a lot of, well, let's start with an overview. 13 months later, is the project about where you thought it would be, Ann?
Yeah, right. What we thought would have happened by now is some exploration and bulk sampling and some beginnings of baseline data collection, and that is occurring.
So any new wrinkles that weren't foreseen 13 months ago when the governor signed the bill?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. And then the next step. I know, Larry, this is a bestseller, your 16-page letter to Gogebic on March 10th, which is on a website. People can read it.
That's correct.
What's a website? Give a shameless promo.
Sure. If you go to the DNR website and type in the word Gogebic,
okay,
the first thing it'll take you to is the Gogebic Taconite Project website.
Okay. Next step. And on page four of this, Larry, you say a mining permit application and environmental impact report may be submitted no earlier than a year after the filing of the pre-application notice. So what's a likely timetable for a formal app?
Well, The soonest it could be submitted with that 12-month criteria would be this summer. But that's virtually impossible since they haven't collected any baseline data. So they need to collect extensive environmental data for groundwater, surface water, air quality, more geologic information, take all of that information and put it into their environmental impact report and permit applications. So that process is going to take some time. It's up to the company when they submit their applications.
Okay.
But we tend to think it wouldn't be for another year at a minimum, but it could be sooner if they feel they have enough information.
Now, you said no baseline data has been collected.
They've collected very little so far. They okay. started collecting surface water data last fall.
Okay.
But beyond that, there's been very little data collected to this point.
Let's talk about then, let's assume nobody watched the November show, which of course they did, but let's say they didn't. So what has happened? We talked in the November show about bulk sampling, borings, so bring us up to date. Excuse me.
Sure. During the winter, Gogebic Taconite conducted another 14 exploration borings.
Okay.
And they also did bulk sampling at three different sites. And the bulk sampling was to obtain rock to haul away for physical tests, to run through a pilot crusher to get processing times for the design of their processing mill at the mine.
And is there a volume of how much rock has been taken away for testing?
They removed 2,400 tons.
2,400 tons.
Total between the three sites.
Is that about, is that what they had told you they would be removing, Larry?
Yes. And the three sites, the site disturbance amounted to just over half an acre, again, between the three sites combined. So it was a fairly small, minor disturbance and well contained on a small area. Not a lot of rock was moved.
And have they, what's been done to the areas where bulk sampling happened?
Mm-hmm. They regraded the sites. So before they collected the rock, they salvaged whatever topsoil material they could and set that aside. When they were done removing rock, they regraded the site so that they were stable slopes, reapplied topsoil if it was available, and then they dormant seeded. So they put down seed. Grant, it's winter, so it's not going to germinate, but you put it down and then mulch so that when soil temperatures do warm up, that seed will germinate. So right now, if you were to go out there and the snow was off the site, you'd see mulch covering the sites and the sites have been regraded.
Are they still doing bulk sampling or is that completed?
That's done.
Now, yes. Bring us up to speed on borings, and the purpose of borings is what?
They do the exploration borings to characterize the ore body and the overburden, what would become waste rock, the rock that wouldn't be ore. And they completed their 14 borings sometime in February. And they do think they may do some more exploration drilling. However, they haven't applied for a license to do further exploration drilling.
So they have done a total so far of how many borings, Ann?
22.
I thought
thanks,
it was
22. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's really intended to get to understand the geology. I mean, you can't just look at the surface and understand what's going on underground. So you need to collect the core samples to put together the puzzle of what that ore body looks like, and that's what they're working on.
One of the things that I think happened since our last interview in November is the feds made some type of announcement that they're going to do their own process here. Do I have this right, Ann, or am I
well,
off bounds?
No. The Ferrous Mining Law says that the department has to attempt to work with the feds to develop a joint environmental impact statement.
Is that so both Corps of Engineers and EPA? Excuse me for interrupting.
It is. The Corps of Engineers has said that they would be the lead federal agency on writing an environmental impact statement, so we've primarily been working with the Army Corps of Engineers. However, we are also working with the Environmental Protection Agency on this project. So we sent the Army Corps of Engineers a letter in November saying, you know, we're working on this project now. We would like to attempt to do an environmental impact statement together, and our law requires us to ask, you know, what do you think? Do you think we can work on one together? And their answer was, at this time, we don't think we can. However, they left the door open for conversation in the future about possibly doing a joint EIS. And we still hope to, both agencies hope to do a joint environmental impact statement. However, they don't want to commit or don't feel that they can commit to the 420 days that the state of Wisconsin will have to write an environmental impact statement.
Now, that 420 days was part of the new law that was signed 13 months ago. When did that clock start, or has it not yet started?
The 420 days begins when we receive a complete permit application. So it hasn't started. We haven't received a mining permit application.
And yet. Did you say earlier in the show you expect that permit app within a year, sir? I realize it's
we don't. Again, it's up to them when they submit it. Internally at DNR, we think a year would be the soonest.
The soonest.
The company, though, again, they can collect data and show that they've collected enough data and characterized the environment adequately so that they could do it sooner. But there's just an awful lot of work that has to be done in order for it to happen, much less than a year.
Boy, is there ever. On page 2 and 3, Larry, of your letter to GoGebic of March 10, do I have this right? 28 required permits and approvals? About that many?
Potentially, yes.
Wow. Well, what are the most important? Because this, the subheads here, mining, air, water, forestry, endangered resources?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to say what that one is more important than the other. I mean, if a permit or approval is needed, they have to get it, so they're mm-hmm. all important. Some of the more significant ones might be the mining permit itself.
Yes.
And permits related to impacts to navigable waters and wetlands.
Mm-hmm.
The approval of the waste facility will be a significant permitting or regulatory review activity.
The air permit?
They need to get an air permit as well. It's important. I don't know if I would include it in the category of the most important.
Did I read a news story, and I could be wrong on this, Ann, that there was something waived during the winter? Was there an air permit or air standards that were waived? No? Okay. nice try, Steve. But
no. go ahead. It's complicated.
For the bulk sampling activity, one of the steps that we had to complete was determine whether or not there were any approvals or permits needed for bulk sampling.
Mm-hmm.
In regard to air, what was needed was a demonstration that they were exempt from the air permitting requirements, just specifically related to the bulk sampling activity. So we went through that process where they demonstrated that they met the thresholds or the limits for getting that waiver or that exemption.
Okay.
So I think that's what you're referring to.
Was that a big deal, Larry, in the great scheme of things?
Not really.
Okay. If I counted right, the 28 permits and approvals, have any been issued yet? None. Okay.
They haven't applied for any of them.
They have not applied for any. And that's
It's too soon.
That's not a big surprise.
No, it's too soon for them to be applying for permits.
Well, how many DNR staffers actively were there during the winter when, let's see, you said the bulk sampling complete on February of 2014, the borings are going, so how active are DNR staffers on the site?
Right, besides having the bulk sampling occurring and the exploration borings, they were also installing or preparing to install some five deep monitoring wells, and they installed eight shallow monitoring wells. So we had someone on site most days of the bulk sampling, for sure. And we also did surveillance inspections of the exploration borings and some of the well construction also. And we have a field person out of the Rhinelander office who was on site very frequently.
Thank you for some of the data you sent me, because you used the phrase, aside from service water sampling, no other activities will take place on the mine site until after the snow melts. Well, it's assuming the snow melts. What are residents and what is anybody going to see over the spring, summer, and fall?
Right. The reason that they're not on site right now is that the conditions are such that you wouldn't want heavy equipment operating out there. And mm-hmm. also, it's under snow cover, so you can't be doing things like wetland delineation or endangered species work or a lot of the baseline data collection that needs to be done either during the growing season or certainly without snow cover. So they're working in their offices on their plans mm-hmm. for when the site dries out enough that they can have equipment and staff on site. So what will be coming next in the summer will be a lot of baseline environmental data collection from installing more monitoring wells, collecting groundwater samples, surface water samples, doing wetland delineations, and all of the data collection that they'll need to do for their environmental impact report.
So there will be a lot of activity in the summer and fall and spring, but people won't be able to watch it.
There'll be a lot of people on site.
Yes.
But there won't be, they'll be collecting data. They'll be, at the streams and lakes and wetlands, they'll be doing terrestrial ecology surveys. There's not going to be a lot of equipment operating on site. Again, they'll likely have, they do have to do more work on their groundwater monitoring wells, but that's really the only real, construction type activity that will be happening. They may do some road work to improve the roadways for future use, but beyond that, it'll mainly be data collection.
Can you remind me, the Senate and the Assembly also passed a bill which Governor Walker signed, which declares part of this, I'm using the term off limits, but that's the wrong term. Is that going to come into effect? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right, right. It already has.
It has. Which means what?
A lot of the site is now closed to public access.
Does that mean it's fenced or will be fenced when the snow melts or
no,
signs?
I don't think they plan to fence it. What they've done is they've marked the trees with paint and they've put up signs saying what areas are off limits. So it's most of the mining site at this point.
Okay.
Off limits to the public.
Okay.
And that area is also delineated on our website as well.
What percentage of the proposed mine area is off limits as a result of that law? And is it 10, 20?
I don't know that we've calculated it, but it's more than half.
More than half?
More than three quarters.
So anybody going there will clearly be able to see the area that's off limits.
It'll pretty
be marked?
Clear to
yes.
me. Yeah.
They have marked it pretty well.
Page 3 of your letter, Gary. Gogebic may want to revise data collection programs to include a larger potential impact area. Can you translate that for me? And what's been the response of Gogebic?
What that is referring to is that when they start data collection, the company has indicated they may want to start just in the area around the proposed mine site. For instance, if we're talking about lakes, they may only collect water quality information or lake information on those lakes that are immediately adjacent to the mine site. What that's suggesting is they may want to go bigger than that in their initial area so that once they start doing their impact analysis or impact assessments and mm-hmm. figure out, we need to collect data over here too, they haven't lost however many months preceded that determination. So we're just recommending take a more conservative approach. So start collecting data in a bigger area so that they don't lose that time. That if they identify a lake 8 months in, 8 months after they start that they need to collect data on, that may mean that they need to collect a year's worth of data out there.
How's the mining company responded to your idea?
I think what they're going to do is take that under consideration or advisement, and on a case-by-case basis, depending on what medium is being considered, whether it's groundwater or surface water, make that determination at that time.
Page 9 of your letter. Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa have their own water quality standards that were approved by EPA on October 5, 2011. Are Bad River water quality standards tougher than the states or the feds?
Some are more stringent than DNRs. They're, you can't say every one is, but there are some that are more stringent.
Which calls a process question, and when the DNR is done, do the feds come in, the Corps of Engineers, and do their own, and then the Bad River? Are we playing with three forces here, or process, timetable?
Right. It's hard to accurately predict, but we hope to be working and have been working a lot with the Army Corps of Engineers and some with the Environmental Protection Agency, too. At the end of the day, if we're able to issue a permit, we will have to know that the company can meet the tribe's water quality standards where the rivers enter the reservation boundary. So we'll take care of that in our permit. Meanwhile, the Army Corps of Engineers and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency will also be permitting the project, so they will need to get federal permits. I'm not aware of a tribal permit per se, because their water quality standards were approved by the Environmental Protection Agency, so I think it's between that agency and ours to fully approve a project.
And in terms of public input, in your letter, Lara, you say a public hearing to solicit public comments was held in Hurley on August 15, 2013. Are there any future public hearings or public windows when the public will be briefed basically on what you're saying during the show, the process?
Under the iron mining law, the next requirement for a hearing is when we have our draft permits and the environmental impact statement ready to be released. So it's near the end of the process.
Near the end of the process.
So, that's the next formal requirement.
Yes.
I think it's our intent to hold periodic update meetings. They're not necessarily going to be hearings, but we'll be trying to schedule meetings where we can go out and update people. In addition to that, there may be what's called a scoping hearing related to the EIS. So when we receive the company's environmental impact report, we may have a scoping, again, what's called a scoping meeting or hearing. And that hearing or meeting may be held jointly with the Corps of Engineers. The purpose of the hearing or meeting is to get a sense of what the issues are and really what the scope of the project is and identify the issues that need to be considered in an environmental impact statement. And that is one aspect of the review process that the Corps said they would like to work with us on. So I think that's our intent to try to do that.
Having walked this area with a very avid fisherman, the areas that are not off limits are still going to be available for fishing and hiking, correct? During this process?
Well, all of the streams continue to be available for fishing.
Is that part of the waterway doctrine that's part of the Constitution?
It's actually written into the managed forest law that was passed in December, where the streams are not off limits to fishing.
And the number of acres that are in forest is about 3,300, Larry, do I have that right? Managed forest land.
I don't know the number, but that sounds reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're talking about a mine of how many acres? Go back over the potential dimensions now. How long, how wide, how deep? These are impressive numbers.
They are. One of the problems is, we have a very conceptual project design right now. We don't have firm design detail, so If you just look at what we have, we're looking at two pits. Each pit is about a mile long, maybe 3/4 of a mile across, half to 3/4 of a mile across. Depth is variable, but I think generally 800 feet to 1,000 feet.
That's what I would say, yeah.
800 to 1,000 feet.
Yeah, and then there's, the other big facility is the waste facility, and my recollection is that that's about 600 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Is that consistent with your memory?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then there's more. I mean, there's other parts of the project too, the plant facility, and, we'll take up another, whatever, couple hundred acres. There may be some corridors that haven't been identified yet. It's a significant land disturbance.
I've seen it identified as the biggest open pit mine in the nation. Is that incorrect, Larry? Do we know how it compares to others?
I'm not sure that I know of every open pit mine in the nation right now, but certainly this would be one of the largest scale development projects ever in the state.
Okay. Well, let's sum it up. The process is going, no major surprises, correct?
Right.
The next major step is them submitting the formal app permit?
Well, I consider the next major step the data collection.
Data collection.
So, that's a really important part of this process, is to understand what the existing environment is.
And that's what we're going to see this summer, correct, Ann? Didn't you say that?
This summer and probably next. And, they could be in data collection for a year or two or more.
They could.
Right.
There's no deadline for them to complete data collection?
No,
they need to collect enough data to run a competent groundwater model and to characterize the existing environment so that they can tell us the impacts they're going to have and how they plan to avoid and minimize them and mitigate them if they have to, in order for us to be able to write an environmental impact statement. And they also need this information for their mine design in order to avoid and minimize environmental impacts. So, no one knows. I'm sure they don't even know right now how long that's going to take until they start collecting the data, and then it'll be an iterative process. They're starting out with a few groundwater monitoring wells, and they'll add more until they feel like they have enough data, which could take a year or two or five. It's really unknown at this point.
So we could be that many years away from them formally submitting an app, correct?
We could.
And then after that, DNR has 420 days to complete the EIS, Environmental Impact Statement, or the EIR?
The company writes the Environmental Impact Report.
Thank you.
We use information in the Environmental Impact Report and permit applications to develop the EIS.
Okay.
What has to happen within the 420 days is we complete our review of their project, we write the EIS, we prepare our draft permit or decisions, we put out a public notice informing the public of the EIS and mm-hmm. our draft permit decision or our draft decision documents. We have a hearing. We summarize comments that we received at the hearing, and then we issue the final decisions. So a lot has to happen in that 420 days.
Is there a timeline for DNR to issue the final ruling on whether a permit's issued?
That's within the 420 days.
Both the EIS and the final DNR ruling must come within
420 days. The permit decisions.
And the law does allow for an alternate schedule if the applicant agrees to it. So the applicant could agree to a longer schedule. And that's one potential that could lead to a joint EIS between the state and feds. If the applicant agrees to a longer schedule, the federal government or the Corps of Engineers may agree to trying to prepare a joint EIS.
Are the Bad River an active partner at this point in the process or a little bit later?
Well, we've been meeting with the Bad River Tribal Natural Resources Department and also the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission as regularly as possible. So they have yet to meet, though, with the applicant.
Oh, they have yet to meet with the applicant.
Right.
Okay. Just a final question. You said 5 deep holes for environmental monitoring were completed during the winter. How deep?
They go to the, or most of them go to the bottom of the proposed pit. So they're, 800 to 1,000 feet deep.
And 8 shallow wells were also constructed?
Yes.
How deep are those?
Those are tens of feet. So 30, 40 feet. Okay. They go to the top of bedrock and then maybe 10 feet into bedrock.
Very good. Well, in summary, Ann, no major surprises. Process is going along, and it just sounds like it's going to be a long process.
Right. I think we're going to be in the environmental data collection stage for quite a while. And I wanted to add, when you asked about public hearings,
please.
Larry and I look for every opportunity that we can to get to the area to answer questions from the public and from their joint mining impact committees and the counties, and we will continue to look for those opportunities. And we like having this opportunity to come here and answer your questions so that the public can view this and maybe get some of their questions answered. And we're going to look to do some of that as an agency, too, to find opportunities where we can be in the area and take questions from people, because we realize that this is a very large-scale project and that people have a lot of questions about it, and we want to make ourselves available.
Yes, very emotional, very controversial, and that's why you want to do just that. Well, thanks, Ann Coakley and Larry Lynch. And what the next update, Wisconsin and I would like to do it on site. So maybe best time later in the summer, early fall. What's your recommendation?
It's a short window.
Short window? come up in the summer?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. We'll see you then.
Sounds great. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.